Time to recap McCook School Board of Education meeting from the month of February already. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Nargard. Weren't you in here like just 2 weeks ago with January's recap?
Boy, it seems like it. It wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago. How's it going?
Going well. Going very well.
This guy's going to have an important decision, of course, here tonight and tomorrow. He was already badgered by Miranda on the way in. Snow day tomorrow. Snow day tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. You know, if we get 15, 16 inches of snow.
It's going to take that much, right?
About that. Yeah. 2 feet. No, I'm kidding.
Just have to wait.
Things kind of shut down after a little bit.
So. Yep, just going to have to wait tomorrow. Yep. You bet. Cool. All right, let's get to the agenda from last night's meeting. We'll start first, reports, communications, public participation.
Did not have any public participation last night at the board meeting. We basically approved consent agenda, and our big presentation started off with myself. Well, we had two committee meetings that had taken place over the last month that had reports. We had a policy committee meeting and also a facilities committee meeting. And the facilities committee meeting is pretty important because it has to do – it's always important, obviously. But this one was particularly important because we're working with YMCA. We've had a really strong partnership with the YMCA over the last 5-6 years, and that relationship continues to strengthen. And one of the things that we've actually talked about here on the radio here before, but we've talked about as a board for the last 3 years, is working with them on their YMCA project. We didn't know for sure if the YMCA was going to be able to raise the funds, and it looks like they're right on the cusp of reaching their financial goals for that project. So it looks like that project's going to take off here, maybe even as soon as March. So we're involved with that, and we kind of want to be involved with that. They need to build a parking lot to the west side of their building. And some of that property on the west side of their building is theirs, and some of it's ours. And they wanted also to see if we'd be interested in building a parking lot north of there that would meet both the school's needs for our track and tennis courts and also the YMCA for overflow. And so through an agreement, through a discussion and back and forth, school attorneys, YMCA attorneys, we've worked out an agreement with them to construct a parking lot on the west side of the YMCA, and that we call that the west parking lot, and then an overflow lot north of that that would be right south of where the old shot put ring was and right directly east of where the current tennis courts are. And so through that agreement, while the school builds the parking lot, builds a surface there, we would also have that. What that would allow the school to do is to have access to their gymnasium. And so, you know, we just had a bond issue. One of the things we really wanted to talk about a little bit more was, you know, because the gymnasium space is important. If you're going to pass a bond, you need to build a new gym. Well, we knew that this potential relationship was on the horizon, that we might have access to an additional gym for practice space. And that would help us get away from the early and the late practices a little bit anyway. We still might have to have a few if we don't pass a bond issue at some point. But we're gonna reduce the numbers of those early and late practices for families. And so we construct a parking lot. We build the overflow parking lot. The services are our needs as well. We have access to a gym. We also continue to have access to the pool area that they have at the YMCA, our high school swim team. We're currently in that season. They're doing quite well. Kind of fun to go to a swim meet. And then also we have access, and that gymnasium space would be available to us during the course of the school year, during regular practice time period. So starting at about, I can't remember the exact time, I think it's around 3:30 to 6:30 during the school year, the McCook Public Schools would have access to one of their courts for practice space. And in a pinch, we could use that space also for a tournament or some sort of competition if we needed to. It's probably not super likely, but you never know. It could come up at some point down the road. And then also classroom or program space. One of the things that we have done in the past and haven't done it recently is had students, our classes take place over at the YMCA where we take advantage of all of their equipment and their workout facilities, their courts, those types of things. So in this agreement, we would have the opportunity to schedule 2 periods during the day where our kids could go over and have program space. Could be a classroom space. It could be just space in one of their workout facilities or something along those lines. Could be a racquetball court, depending on what the curriculum calls for. And there'd be a mutual agreement between the YMCA and the school for the use of that space. It could also be used for, let's say, a dance team practice or a cheer squad practice. Sometimes those spaces are hard to get a hold of. If we have activities going on in the gymnasium at the high school, maybe there's a band concert that night, so the gym's all set up with chairs. Not a great place to do your dance practice. Or it could be a consistent dance practice space if that's what is agreed upon between the two facilities. Also, the YMCA, with the parking lot, would have access to our green space, continued access to our green space over, I can't remember how many years ago it was. It seems like it's been a while now. But the YMCA has been, using our green space for flag football and soccer and those types of things, and that's worked out really, really well. And we both wanted to see that relationship continue into the future, and so that's become part of this contract as well. And so that agreement was discussed in facilities. We've actually been working on this for a long period of time, but facilities needed to discuss it because it's an action item later on in our board agenda, and so they addressed that later on. The other committee meeting was our policy committee. In our policy committee meeting, our policy committee met to discuss changes in state legislation. So this came out in January from our school attorneys that how we notify the community about a meeting, we have to identify the process or practices that we're going to use. And so in McCook, we use the McCook Gazette as our notification. Actually has that in state statute to use a paper of record in your attendance area. We have the one. And so we put that into policy that last month we identified McCook Gazette, not knowing that this was going to change. So McCook Gazette's been identified as our newspaper, and we will notify using the newspaper. But in case, because not all newspapers publish every day, and that's really common throughout the state of Nebraska, if we had to have a special meeting and we were not able to get an advertisement into the paper 48 hours in advance because of the publishing timelines and those types of things, the day the papers come out. There are alternatives now that the school district can use. And so there's the paper's website, and then also there's a statewide statewide public entity or public body notice site that anybody in the state of Nebraska, so you can go on there, you can see when, I don't know, Hardington is going to have their city meeting, their school board meeting. It's all the notices in the state are published in this one site. And so we identified those two other resources in case we needed to. And this isn't necessarily an emergency meeting. Emergency meetings, you know, I might call you, Rich, say, hey, tell people we're going to be at the we need to meet right now. There's something that's happened and we need to address it right away. This is more of just a special meeting. That's maybe not quite as urgent as an emergency meeting. So you just need some, but the timing of the paper doesn't work for when you want to have that meeting. I don't see this happening very, very often. I can't think of a time it would have happened in the last 16 years. We always really like to get it in the actual paper. So, but you never know, and that's one of the things I said to the board. If the state wants us to pass a policy like this, we're going to pass this policy. And you never know. It might come in handy at some point down the road. So those are the two committee meetings. And then following that, I basically took over with my presentation. So February is my annual report to the Board of Education and to the community. So if you come, we did have some folks there last night. It was good to have some folks in the crowd or in the audience to present on all the important elements the school district has to deal with, the sort of the big issues that we deal with. There's thousands and thousands of little tiny issues we deal with, but sort of the big ones. So student performance, right? Finances, staffing, demographics, those types of things I report on to the board on an annual basis in February. And so we started off a little bit with our school improvement goal. I shared with them that the school improvement goal, and I read it to them. And this is kind of important. So next week, actually, we have a team of educators from across the state coming to visit McCook Public Schools. It's called an external team visit. During that visit, these teachers and administrators and Department of Ed folks look at what we do and make sure that we have a process in place for continuous improvement. Schools should always be working towards getting better at what they do. And so we have a school improvement goal, and ours is to directly and significantly impact student learning through the implementation of a comprehensive instructional program approach focused on, and here are the key points to that. The comprehensive instructional program approach is kind of difficult to grasp outside of the world of education. So what do we focus on? We're focused on quality teacher training, so professional development, collaboration amongst teachers. Teachers don't teach in silos. We need to collaborate and work together. Curriculum development, so we're always working to develop our curriculum. Assessment development, the most important assessments we give are the assessments we develop here locally, and they need to be of high quality, valid, and reliable. And multi-tiered student learning support structures. Now, what does that mean? That's interventions. So, and it's multi-tiered because some students don't need, they just need the regular instruction for a learning objective. On that same learning objective, another student might need a little extra support, so they need another tier of support. And then some students, even after receiving that second tier of support, they actually need additional support to that. So there's another tier to that. So making sure that we're always providing extra supports to students to make sure that they learn what we believe is most important for kids to learn. So that is our school improvement goal, and we've been working on that for, we had the pandemic year. So usually it'd be five, but this time it was four. Now they're going to come in and take a look at all the things we did. So I feel it's really important to share that with the board. And also I give a monthly school improvement update to the Board of Education as well. So none of that was really new to them. One of the things I also shared, so we talk a lot about assessment. I probably spend the bulk of my presentation talking about student performance. We really take a close look at our data and how McCook Public Schools do on the state assessments. One of the first things I talk about is our classifications. As everyone knows, the state of Nebraska classifies school districts and school buildings across the state. In McCook, our the district, the high school, central elementary school, and junior high were all identified as great schools. And McCook Elementary was identified as an excellent school. Last year, the junior high was identified an excellent school. And so that's a really nice to be recognized as an excellent school because it means you're in the top 10-13% of schools in the state of Nebraska. The other categories are good and needs improvement. So we all of our schools were great or excellent. So we feel really good about that. I talked about last year, one year we had three of our buildings get excellent. And one got good, but the district got a good because at that time everyone had to get excellent and your district to get an excellent as a district. Then I went into just talking about the state assessment scores. I'm going to talk about NSCAS. That's the Nebraska State Assessments for grades 3 through 8th grade. So our kids take assessments in mathematics and English Language Arts, ELA, in grades 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And then they also take an assessment in science in grades 5 and 8. They don't do it at every grade level. So one of the first things I was able to share was that in English Language Arts, our students, and I use a bar graph to present to the board so it's easy to see visually, that at every grade level in English Language Arts, the McCook Public Schools outperform the state. And that's always something we really want to beat the state if we can. Nebraska is a tough state. We're one of the highest performing states in the nation. And depending on which measure you use, there's different groups out there that measure educational quality state by state. Nebraska's always in the top 10. A lot of times we're in the top 5. So we're a tough state to compete against. And it was good to see in those grades that we beat the state at every at every grade level in English Language Arts. I then presented our free and reduced lunch students information. And this was pretty impressive as well. And one of the reasons I really like sharing it. These are students that are either in poverty, borderline poverty students. And when I presented this data, it showed that our free and reduced lunch students actually outperformed the state as a whole as well, except at fifth grade, and it's really close. And so that's something to sort of brag about. So in that graph, I actually showed where the state's free and reduced lunch students perform, and we really outperform those by a statistically significant margin. Talked also about our Hispanic population is up to 10%, which makes them large enough to pull out as a demographic group to look at. And our Hispanic students do really, really well. In fact, they outperform the state of Nebraska as well at every grade level except fifth grade. And even at sixth grade, they outperformed the student body as a whole, which is really impressive. And so we have that demographic group that we pulled out. So across the board there, when we just look at our students compared to the state, we outperform the state and everything in English language arts, and we're proud of that. The next NSCAS assessment that I looked at is mathematics. And again, this is the same grade levels, 3 through 8, that we measure. Our student body compared to the state, again, we beat the state at every grade level in that content area. So all of our performance outperformed the state of Nebraska. We're really close in a couple of them, but we still beat them, and so that was good to see. And this data for both free and reduced lunch and for our Hispanic students looks the same. Our free and reduced lunch students outperform the state, again, except for fifth grade and sixth grade. But they outperform the state as a whole, which is great. And our Hispanic students outperform, again, the state of Nebraska as well as a whole, and our own student body at sixth grade. So I'm pretty proud of those scores. I'm going to keep going. I know. Hopefully, I'm not boring everybody out there. I love this stuff. So anyway, so the last assessments at fifth and eighth grade. That's that science assessment. They take it twice before they get into high school. And so again, as a student body as a whole, we outperform the state of Nebraska at both fifth and eighth grade. And so this is the second year in a row that McCook Public Schools has outperformed the state of Nebraska on every content test at every grade level. And that's pretty tough to do. And so I feel really good about that and was able to brag about that a little bit about our kids and the teachers. Also talked about proficiency rates. Not only here I get a little bit more specific with other schools. So comparing us against the state is one thing. When I compare us against peer schools, in English language arts, in math, and in science, and peer schools are schools that look like us, same demographic groups, same size, same poverty ratings, same special education, those types of things. We outperform both the state and our peers in English language arts, math, and science. So across the board, we outperform everybody. And so that was great to share with the Board of Education. Then you move on to the ACT results. Our ACT results that I'm going to share here at the beginning are from last year's junior class. State of Nebraska is one of a few states in the nation that have 100% of their students take the ACT. And so when you see Nebraska's ACT results compared against other states, keep that in mind. We still perform well. Used to be we were one or two in the nation, but we dropped a little bit once 100% of our students take the test. I think we're still in the top 10, though. So just remember that all of our students, so when Massachusetts outperforms the state of Nebraska on the ACT, they probably have 15-16% of their kids taking it, not 100%. So it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison. Again, we performed quite well. The state of Nebraska did not outperform McCook Public Schools on any content area. In fact, there is one area that we tied. We both had 18.6 in mathematics, but across the board, the rest of the way, we outperformed the state, which is good. And we also, when I look at that peer group again, and this is a three-year average using proficiency ratings. The state of Nebraska takes the ACT, and I think I've talked about this in the past, but they don't just use I gave you the ACT scores just from the ACT, but the state of Nebraska doesn't use reading and then our score, or writing score, or the English score. They actually combine those three into ELA. And I don't know how they have mathematicians that figure all this. Psychometricians is what they're called. They do all this fancy mathematics gymnastics, and they come up with scores. So McCook Public Schools has outperformed both the state and our peers by a statistically significant margin in reading English. Right, so that combined score of writing English and reading combined together, it's about a 20 percentage point difference or more between our peers even in the state of Nebraska. Math, we're a little bit closer, but we outperform our peers in the state, and also in science, we outperform our peers in state. And those are a little bit closer, but in English language arts, we really, really outperform, statistically significantly outperform the state of Nebraska and our peers. So we do a good job in those areas, and it's something, again, to brag about. And so for the second year in a row, we beat the state of Nebraska on every content area on the ACT, and that's exciting to say as well. It's not easy to do, but when we have, you know, we have good kids, good parents, we have an amazing community and high-quality teachers, it can be done. I did provide some ACT trendline data. I did point out, though, that last year's ACT trend was a little bit, it's pretty, if you could see the line graph I'm looking at right now, it's pretty much flat. Our performance has a little bit of ebb and flow. Last year was a little bit lower than where we normally score. And so our math score that tied the state, that you can see a little dip in that line graph from last year's class. So I think we've kind of looked through this. I've said math several times here, is maybe being the lower performing area. So as we look into the future, we need to think about mathematics as an area to focus on to strengthen and improve. Talked a little bit about our general information. Graduation rate in McCook this last year is 92%. A few years ago it was 87, so we're excited to see that number up. Although I will preface that by saying we don't just hand out diplomas. So it could go down. You've got to earn your diploma. And the state wants everyone to be above 90%. You're going to have to earn it. And I think there's a lot of schools that have that mindset. You're going to have to earn it. We're not going to just give it to you. College going rate is up quite a bit, 81% from McCook. Attendance rate was 93%. Special education is up a little bit. That's not necessarily a number you want to see go up, but the students have to qualify to get into special education. So those numbers are what they are. So we're up at 17%, and our student membership is at 1386. The next part, I spent quite a bit of time talking about our criterion reference tests. So, and I've said this before multiple times, in McCook, CRT does not represent, what is it, critical race theory. It represents criterion reference tests. It's a type of assessment that's developed by your own teachers. And so our criterion reference tests are developed by our collaborative professional teacher teams. They design them, and they're designed to match our curriculum. So I presented data to the Board of Education last night in the community showing how our students are doing on our own tests. Mr. Bedner is very good with technology. He's created sort of a warehousing process where teachers can input the students' CRT scores, and then that tabulates it and creates these excellent graphs and provides wonderful information. Like if you have given a CRT test, it knows which students did or did not master it. And if the students didn't master it, it tells you who they are. So you can go and provide an intervention or reteach to those students. It's an excellent system that we have in place. But one of the things that it does is it tells us, 80% mastery cutoff. We want to get 100% of our students to master all of our content. But we kind of have set 80% as a point where if you're below that or near that, we need to really take a look at your content areas. And when we look through our CRT data, one of the things I shared with the board, although we do very, very well, and we do this K-12, we measure students on our own curriculum. There are areas of high strength, and like the ACT pointed out, English, language, arts, reading, writing, our kids are really great at that. But it also helps to solidify maybe some of our weaknesses. So when I talked about the NSCAS, the ACT showing maybe a little bit of weakness in mathematics, well, when I look at our criterion reference tests, it kind of shows the same thing. So you get that triangulation of data that really kind of points that we probably need to do some things to strengthen math. Not that it's bad, but that it's just an area that we don't perform as highly as we do in our other content areas. So I presented those at grade level, and we can't go through that on the radio, obviously, but at each grade level on all those content areas, in math, English, language, arts, science, and even with our CRTs, you get into business, you get into Spanish, you get into agriculture, you get into physical education. So it covers a lot of all of our content area. We do measure that. Talk about demographics. Already talked a little bit about demographics. I'll give you a quick breakdown. 1% of our students are black. 3% are highly mobile. Those are students that make multiple moves in a year. 3% are English language learners. We have 8% gifted, 10% Hispanic, 17% special education, and 43% are free and reduced. Our special education population has gone up a little bit over the last several years. 1920, we're about 14.5. This last year, we're at 17%. So that's increased, which requires more time and support because that requires a special degree to work with students that are identified in special education. Our free and reduced lunch percentages had a dip around the pandemic, but they've kind of been flatlined right around 43%. And then one of the things that was kind of important is our student enrollment 10-year trend data. So I looked and presented a chart to the Board of Education on a line graph with trend line data on it, showing that over the last 10 years, we've lost about 50 students. And so that's something we need to be cognizant of moving forward. That's not, we're not so small that that's a huge impact, that has a huge impact on us, but just something to pay attention to as we move forward. We played C1 football a couple of years ago, so something to keep an eye on. Staff information, our teachers have a lot of experience compared to the state, and our wages are a little bit higher. The state average is $60,377, and McCook, the average, was $61,103. So a little less than $1,000 difference there, but that the board's trying to be as competitive as possible to encourage teachers to come out to McCook to teach. And that's one of the ways we can do that. Talked about our receipts and expenditures. McCook, about 48% of the dollars that McCook Public Schools spend come from local property taxpayers. 52% comes from a combination of state and federal sources. So state aid. So local property is a single chunk is the largest at 48%. Then the second largest at 29% is state aid. Other state receipts is about 20%, and then federal receipts is right around 4%, 4.5%. So that all combined together creates all of the income to the school district. Expenditures, I talked about this last night, about 84% of all of our money is spent on humans, so people that do work. So teachers, bus drivers, custodians, administrators, paraprofessionals, that's where 84% of our budget goes to. Of that, except for a few of those individuals, are directly related to instruction in the classroom. And then about 14, 15, 16%, that's going to be gas, buses, those types of desks, paper, workbooks, those types of things. So a much smaller percentage of the overall budget goes to those expenses. Also, we didn't have up-to-date cost per pupil, so we did some of our own. I know it's going to be different than what the state produces, but we did $15,800 as our cost per pupil in McCook, $15,800. And we compare that to the state of Nebraska. The average in the state of Nebraska is $17,526. We compared ourselves, and that's off last year's data, so that's probably gone up. So actually, there's probably a bigger difference there than I just said. And then also last year's data against our peer schools, even based off last year's data, they were at $16,575 per pupil. So when we compare ourselves to schools that are like us, we're spending almost $1,000 less per pupil. Shared survey data, we do perceptual data every year. This is old data, it was the same data I presented last year because we're probably going to produce a new one, and it's probably going to go out in March or April. But I did want to share with them last year's data. Also shared with them how we communicate with parents. We have flyers that have gone home to parents talking about our school improvement process. It might not say school improvement process, but it talks about, like, what do we do on Wednesdays? Our teachers get together, meet collaboratively. They talk about curriculum. They talk about assessment. They design instruction. And then they also design those interventions for those kids that aren't keeping up with the regular instruction. One of the last things I talked about, and this is based off the data that we received from the state, we had some data that was negative that we didn't like seeing with chronic absenteeism. So chronic absenteeism is a student who misses 10% or more of the school year. They're absent. And so according to the data, we jumped from 15.7% in 22-23 to 22.8%, which is actually higher than the state in 23-24. That's a lot. And so that's very concerning. And so what we've started to put together is some information. I've done some research into attendance, increasing attendance, putting together some pamphlets and some cards to send to families. It's just expressing how it's important for kids to come to school. There is a direct link between school attendance and student performance. And so we want to encourage parents to encourage their kids to get to school. one of the biggest increases that we see locally in our attendance rates is excused absences. So it's not unexcused. It's parents calling in for their child that they don't, they're excused for the day. So that there might be a little bit of that that's impacting our percentages that probably doesn't need to take place. We really need to get those kids in school every day. And so we hope to educate families about how that negatively impacts student achievement, because the data is really, really clear. Being in school makes a difference. And, well, the pandemic is an example of that. Kids went out of school, and we had the worst NAEP scores since the early 80s. And those are the National Assessment of Academic Progress. And so we're on a steady incline for three decades, and then, boom, we lost a lot of ground in 1 year. So attendance really makes a difference. And then with that chronic absenteeism, I did look and present to the board data just on regular attendance. And that regular attendance shows that really our attendance hasn't changed that much. So the average number of days that students miss in McCook is around 11, which is too high. We don't like that. We'd like to see that down below 6 if we could. But that percentage is actually a little lower than it was in 21-22. So it's interesting that we saw chronic absenteeism increase. So I wonder if there was just a group of kids that were really close before and they took one more day or two. Because it only takes 17 days. 17 days, you miss 17 days out of school year, that's chronic absenteeism. So it doesn't take, it's less than 2 a month. So it doesn't take much to get to that barrier. And so, again, encourage parents to get their kids to school, to say, you know, you got to go today. And so we noticed also an increase on Fridays. So I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, and before breaks. Anyway, I'm not being...
They wanted a three-day weekend.
They did.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going on to quite a bit here, but we have some programs in place that we're going to start designing structures to help support better school attendance and see if we can get that into a more appropriate zone. We're still doing well academically. Our kids still do well. But there was a little bit of a decline, right? We're seeing a little bit of decline on that ACT. I wonder if some of that missing school has something to do with it. So one of the things I said to the board is this improving attendance actually has to do with their strategic plan priority goal of raising academic achievement for all students. Well, let's address this and see what happens. This is one of the things we can do to address to see if we can improve student achievement. And then we approved those. We approved the policy. We approved the We approved the agreement, a staging agreement, and the agreement to work with the YMCA. We also
school calendar
had I presented the school calendar to the board for consideration. That'll be up for approval in the month of March. It looks a lot like this year, so very, very close to this year's. Talked about the external team visit next week, and we're going to have some board members at an opening session on next Tuesday night. So the opening session at 6 o'clock in the evening, where I'll present and the board members get to speak. We accepted grant funds from Parker. Really appreciate Parker supporting our industrial tech department. They provided the district with $5,000, and I think lathe, and there were several pieces of equipment that we really needed to upgrade. We have some equipment that's very old in there. And so really appreciate Parker partnering with us and giving us that wonderful donation to improve our system.
You had one contract approval?
Did. We have a young man, Evan Sistak. I'm probably not doing that name any justice, but wonderful young man, a fellow that we met at a recruiting fair, grew up in Grant, is now student teaching with us here in McCook, and they really have high things to say about him. Wants to coach, wants to be involved in coaching, and that's something you need. You need teachers and you need coaches. So we're really happy to bring Evan on board. He's going to do a great job for us. And excited that my administrators worked so hard to bring him in.
No resignations at this one, right?
Not at this one. We did not, no.
Right. Positive comments? Do you want to?
Yeah, sure. Amanda thanked the YMCA and Wagner Honor Group for the Edgerton Science Group. The YMCA housed it, and Wagner basically funded it and brought that group out, and it was a great experience for our kids. And also excited for our bowlers who made the state tournament. Yeah. Jesse shared about the basketball game and really appreciated the work that went into the halftime show for the boy-girls dance. It was a lot of fun. Charlie commented on the amount of work and effort that goes into the district and recruiting staff and those types of things, and the things that we've done to try to promote early notification through our early notice incentives. And really appreciates the work that we're doing there. Mike spoke about Bison Days and the work that everyone does to put that together. It's a ton of work. He had kids out at his facility, and they had a wonderful experience. Jeff gave a shout-out to the volunteers for the girls' district wrestling tournament. It takes a lot of people to pull off that tournament. We've gotten the district tournament twice in a year, last year's boys, this year's girls. And so Darren has to put a lot of work into getting that, Mr. Nichols, and does an amazing job with that. It's an amazing event. We get a lot of positives from the visiting teams. Even if they're coming from Elkhorn, they give us a lot of positive comments. And then Brad talked about Bison Days is here. What a great time. All the things that are going on this spring. He had kids come out to the hospital. He saw them. They were having a great time. It was a wonderful experience for those kids. And I commented during the presentation, a lot of really good academic information. I was able to share lots of high performance, high achievement. That's because of our teachers. Also wanted to point out that McCook Elementary, again, was classified as excellent this year. Junior high was last year. This year is McCook Elementary. That's not easy to do, and so we really appreciate it. I know there's some schools in the area that also get that excellent rating. If your kids attend that school, hey, that's awesome. It's not easy to do.
Congrats, Mr. Borland and
yes,
company over
absolutely.
There.
Yep.
You bet. And we had a couple of students for Bison Days yesterday, so it's a cool two-day stretch of a lot of things going on.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's really going on right now. So yeah. You see our kids around town and visiting. It's what we appreciate, all the volunteers, the folks willing to bring those kids in. Boy, I tell you what, kids love this program because of your willingness to support the school and support those kids. So we really appreciate it.
The March school board meeting is...
The 10th. It's the same...
March 10th.
Yeah, March 10th.
Excellent. So, very good. Well, we might be hearing from you or Mr. Gross here in the next 12 hours or so.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. That forecast hasn't changed much. It does not look good at this point, so stay tuned.
Yeah. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.